Hi,
I'm Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hi. Brother. Yeah. You're clicking off. You're making me sick.
Marga. He hasn't come on yet.
All right, thank you.
Go to show.
Go to show.
Go to show.
Today's handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. In row 11, the second row, second column from the left, it's Advanced Reincarnation. When that opens up, you scroll down to I didn't look to remember that one. Sorry. Uh, Class 19B, and that will pick up where we left off last week in Chapter 15, Section 2. Does anybody have any questions from last week or from any other subject? So I will begin reading. According to the extent of the actions of those below, the souls can be drawn out. Thus, if the entire Jewish people were to repent, then the Shekhinah would be able to take all of the souls out in one instance. In other words, Mashiach's arrival could be hastened, as it says, the smallest shall become a thousand, and the least a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. If they are worthy, I will hasten it. And if they are not worthy, it will be in its time. That is a famous quote from Isaiah and an explanation from Rashi. Repentance energizes the Shekhinah to retrieve the lost souls and sparks. Thus does the Zohar teach. This issue of the redemption depends upon nothing but repentance. As mentioned, teshuvah, repentance, is teshuv hey, return the hey. The letter that represents the Shekhinah. Repentance energizes the Shekhinah to retrieve the lost souls and sparks. I am adding, actual teshuvah causes the sparks to be released from the klipot, so that when the Shekhinah goes down into the klipot at night, the sparks can be elevated by her as she elevates and returns to her place by the side of Hashem in the morning, as the commentator's comments express. On the other hand, our sins weaken Hashem, so to speak. As it says, you weaken the rock that bore you. They cause a hiding of his presence from the world. And I am adding, the Midrash brings the teaching that due to our sins, Hashem retreated from one level of heaven until the next level of heaven, until he was in the highest level of heaven. Then Abraham and the Hebrew nation came, and step by step, heaven by heaven, he returned until the gifting of the Torah. It took Yitro, the high priest of the 70 nations, to acknowledge Hashem to allow the Torah to be revealed. Finally, the Torah is revealed, and we again start the process that sends Hashem back up the seven heavens until we can no longer see Hashem in the physical world. When we find Hashem in this concealed state, that is Mashiach. That is why Mashiach can only come in an orderly, natural way, such as nations agreeing to a peace treaty, instead of the usual human expectation of a miraculous peace manifestation. This secret is told to us through the medium of Hashem being to us as a rock. On the simple level, this reiterates to us the fact that Hashem is really steadfast and unchanging, and the problems caused by any sin are really only to ourselves. A step deeper, this comes to teach the underlying principle of why what we do is so important. Joseph was blessed by his father. From there, he was nourished by the Rock of Israel. The souls are called a chalek eloka mema'al, a piece of divinity from above. A little pebble hewn and quarried is a part of the entire mountain. As if it were, we were a chip off the old block from upstairs. Thus, at the soul source, Father and Son are one. I am adding, actually, Hashem and a human soul are one. It is from these ideas, or from this idea, that the Kabbalists bring the teaching that we are like God. The word for rock, Evan, is by way of remes, hint, a type of compound word, Av and Ben, Father and Son. In the pre-creation stage, all that would ever be was included in potential. This is like the state of a child included in the father's mind prior to conception. As if it were, everything is included in Hashem's mind. Thus do the rabbis speak of creation as having arose in divine thought. There, reality basks in brilliant light. It all waits to express and shine. After the actual is separated from the potential, it comes out and manifests the root light that it was connected to above. Sin causes the actual to ascend and be re-included above. It thus reverses the creation process and destroys the world. In order to allow free will to continue, the sinner and the world around him appears to go on. If one had spiritualized to see what is really happening, he would see the life force depart from the evildoer. This lack of divinity shining below is called relative to us, as if a weakening of Hashem. One way of describing our job in a nutshell is that we must manifest outwardly this inner connection. Sin causes the opposite of this. Therefore, it is as if it were weak, as if it were weakening root rock connection. In short, if you want Hashem, you got a rock. I am adding, it is not truly a weakening of Hashem. It is a weakening of ourselves. When our life force, the Chinese call it qi or ki, reduces, as mentioned above, we weaken until we reach a point that our life force is too weak to keep us alive. Conversely, when we do a good deed, we receive back the life force we gave away. How long we live from this recovered life force depends on how much the Klipot used up while they had this life force, which is called Nefesh. That is why the universe uses as a medium of exchange Nefesh energy. Remember, without your Nefesh, there is no covering of the Ruach, and it must leave along with the Neshama. Once the souls are able to leave the Klipot, then the Shekhinah can remove them. After removing their life force, the complete Klipot then die. The negative forces are parasites. They cannot exist without nourishment from their very enemies. As soon as they are suspended from drawing energy, they are nullified. And the evil person is consumed like smoke. This is great depth to this comparison. E equals mc squared. Matter does not become destroyed, just transformed. The same applies to evil. It does not need to be eradicated, just adjusted. All we need to do is to turn it into its proper form. This is the concept of sublimation. sublimation is that three-step process that we discussed last week. In order to set the stage for free choice, there must be things in the world that look bad. I am adding, consciousness controls. When we use the word bad instead of evil, we leave evil intact. Substitute evil for anything, anytime you use the word bad. A child is never bad, and neither are adults. A child is never evil. He makes mistakes. An adult only looks evil. All things are an expression of the goodness of Hashem. The underlying principle comes out especially in regards to loving Hashem. As seen from the rabbi's interpretation of the verse, and you shall love Hashem your Lord with all of your heart, with all of your heart, with both of your inclinations, the good one and the evil one. The Torah chooses to here show us this principle by the mitzvah of loving Hashem, because love is the root force that makes this happen. This can be understood based on the verse, the world is built on loving kindness. The root of creation was the pure, altruistic, divine desire to give goodness. Because this is the underlying axiomatic energy of all existence, it automatically implants and programs the base essence of everything to be good. In order to set the stage for free choice, there must be things in the world that look like the opposite. However, since the bottom of all things lies love, it is always possible to transfer any given thing back to this innate source. Moreover, at the end of days, this will indeed happen in a complete, grandiose, glorious way. On that day, Hashem will be one and his name one. Isn't he one now? Indeed, he is. But now this is not apparent. Because now, on good tidings, things that we feel to be positive, we bless. He is good and does good. On bad tidings, the things that we experience as being negative, we bless. He is the truthful judge. But in time to come, it will always be experientially clear that everything is for the best. Therefore, we will always bless. He is good and does good. All of creation will completely assume its true nature of love and good. In this lies the secret of how to turn the evil inclination into good. The Hebrew word for love is ahava. It relates to the root yahav, to give. The intrinsic nature of the good inclination is to give, or the opposite, the opposite. A person has to learn to take the selfish energy of his negative tendencies and turn them into sharing. I am adding, this is a corrupted translation of the Hebrew. Giving is lo lishmo, not for its own sake. Even the Matan Torah, the gift of the Torah, is better translated as the sharing of the Torah. Sharing is lishmo, for its own sake. Please use the proper word above. It is not giving, it is sharing. The group, the B'nai Baruch, under the guidance of Rabbi Leitman, uses the term altruism, yet this is also corrupted. Since we are created as a desire to receive, we cannot be altruistic. We can transform our desire to receive for oneself alone into a desire to receive in order to share. This is the correct Kabbalistic language translated into the English. Another explanation, smoke is Oshad. It is the first letters, an acronym of Olam Shana Nefesh, time, space, soul, continuum. The ability of evil to masquerade and appear as bad comes from the fact that our minds are uncertain, are underneath time and space. When something goes up in smoke, it forfeits its revealed aspect of manifestation to the soul through the mediums of time and space. It thereby comes closer to its root above in the ultimate purpose. The divine love inside, therefore, does the Ari tell us that the wicked will be consumed like smoke, to teach that even the negative energy amassed by someone through an entire lifetime of evil will be transformed to good. I am adding, use the above commentary to enhance your understanding of the Ola, the burnt offering. This sacrifice must go up in smoke, rising directly with no movement to right or left, but it rises straight up. Physically, this is due to an herb added to the fire. I forget the name. Spiritually, it represents the direct connection between the soul of the offerer, the Levite, and the Kohen, and Hashem. The klipot, which are called death, will be swallowed in a single moment. This is the sod of the verse. Death will be swallowed forever. For the klipot, which are called death, will be swallowed in a single moment. Food becomes the eater. Contrary to popular opinion, it's not you are what you eat. Rather, what you eat becomes what you are. The klipot will be swallowed and digested by the side of holiness, and thereby also turned into good. Since the Shekhinah, together with the soul sparks that were among them, will have left them. I am adding, we must realize that the left column of the tree will not die. It will remain and be useful. It will cause the desire for your spouse to manifest in unification through sexual relations, even after Mashiach. The left column will be controlled by the sharing consciousness of the right column. Section 3. Escaping the clutches of the impurity. The greater the soul, the more the klipot will benefit. Returning to the topic, while the Shekhinah is among them for the sake of the souls that are there, it is impossible that the klipot not benefit. Therefore, they cause them, the klipot, to remain among them, and they continue to be sustained as a result of their presence. And the greater the soul, the more the klipot will benefit. The greater the soul, the higher the degree of intensity is its energy. It is thus a big investment that reaps for them high dividends. Thus, when a particular soul is very important, they will not allow it to leave them, and the klipot will make every effort to defile it in order to prevent it from leaving. Sometimes they feel that a certain righteous person will do an important mitzvah and cause a soul to be removed from among them, and they draw it out after his seed from a holy union with his wife. I am adding, this is how the precious Abraham is born to the evil, mistaken, Terah. This is how the precious Moshe is born to his parents, who went against the Torah law of a divorce and remarriage. There are others in the Torah as well, as will be discussed in later chapters. Every nation accomplishes something, even when there is no conception. It is not for naught, and great rectifications can be made. Souls can be redeemed and liberated. The power of the union to do this depends upon the purity of the intentions of the couple. They feed the soul before Hashem in order to cause it to enter the defiled seed. Therefore, when they see a certain evil person who has become completely blemished and has forsaken his purpose, they try very hard to accuse the soul before Hashem in order to cause it to enter the defiled seed, so that it will further destroy itself. Rather than the righteous soul enter the product of the unholy union, the Klipot urge Hashem to send the blemished soul instead to become even more blemished. This in turn will cause it to become even more blemished and forever unable to leave them. Forever here means until the Klipot are eternally obliterated. Hashem desires the repentance of even the greatest sinner, rather than see a soul destroyed. However, Hashem considers how to prevent those who stray from being pushed off completely, specifically those souls which are pure and special. Hashem desires the repentance of even the greatest sinner, rather than see a soul destroyed, God forbid. If matter is not destroyed, how much more so a soul? However, one who has seriously defiled his soul will have to undergo a greater transformation process. In general, sin soils the soul and causes it to need a cleansing, a cleaning. The dirtier it is, the more of a cleaning it requires. There is a point where it becomes so dirty that the washing machine won't help anymore. The garment needs to be set on fire. Through being burned, the unclean molecules connect with their roots in the infinite light and are rejuvenated to assume a new identity. This is a parable for the soul. Its being destroyed means that the energy is transformed and is made into something good. So he needs there the Klipot's voice and places such souls in an evil place. After time, the Klipot weaken their grasp. Thinking they have won control over the seemingly lost soul, this is a type of decoy tactic. Hashem created a system in order to set the stage for free will, in order to keep the system going. He, as if it were, plays by his own rules. Therefore, he, as if it were, must allow the Tetrachra to have its place and power. He plays around within systems, within the rules of the system, to usurp the Klipot. However, it is then that God helps the soul to rise up from the dust of its sin. This is what King David means when he praises, saying, "From the garbage heaps he lifts up the destitute." Each and every soul is pure and holy. And impurity to become kosher once again through its actions, like pearls that are cleansed and whose appearance becomes fitting to the eyes of all. That is a foundational principle. Each and every soul is pure and holy. Any mistake anyone makes is not who they really are. At the bottom of the self lies a precious diamond. It just requires polishing. I am adding, cleaning and polishing. Not only is the soul rectified, but even the ones who fathered it also merits it from the repentance of the son, like we see in the case of Job, who was the Gilgul of Terah, the father of Abraham, who repented because of Abraham. Abraham's spiritual accomplishments acted as a merit for Terah, which brought divine assistance, so that Terah could eventually repent. This is based on the Zohar. A son gives merit to the father, posthumously. The Ari says here, we see that this applies not only in regards to the merit of the parents, but it goes a step further. The children can energize the parents' souls to be reincarnated into a good lifetime and change their destiny for the better. God tricks the klipot in order to save those who stray from being pushed off completely. This concept will be discussed in more detail in a later chapter. And now go to handout number 25, which is in class 20. Getting a lot of background noise, it might be beneficial to mute your phones by pressing star 6. I'm trying to open up the class. Class 20 starts with chapter 16, section 1, fulfilling all 613 mitzvot. Does anyone have any questions before I begin?
No. I thought the next one would be chapter 13, section 1.
Okay. We've been in chapter 15.
Okay.
Can I ask what you were working on? Because I came in a little late before you announced, after you announced what you were working on.
Advanced reincarnation can be found in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. Which is in row 11, the second column from the left. It's advanced reincarnation. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to quest. Right now we're just opening up class number 20, which is handout number 5.
Okay, I found it. I just had the old one underneath. That's why I thought it was that one.
Understand. But again, I've got somebody that with background noise, so I'm going to have to mute everybody. If you want to ask a question, you'll need to press star 6. As I've said before, and will say many times in the future, Bezrat Hashem, I prefer people to ask questions as we go through the class. So if you need to ask a question or you want to make a comment, and your comments are welcome, please press star 6 and unmute your phone. I prefer not to mute everybody, but sometimes with background noises and static, we have no choice. Doing mitzvahs unite one with the body of the king. Man is a microcosm of the universe. He is modeled after the divine image. By way of anthropomorphisms and spiritual parables, the mitzvahs are called as if limbs of the king. Doing them unites one with the body of the king. Each limb of the soul is modeled after a divine limb, so to speak, a mitzvah. Doing the mitzvahs connects every limb with its source. This enlivens the soul and makes it shine. A person must somehow or another fulfill all the mitzvahs in order to have the complete connection to Hashem through all the channels of the self that he was created to attain. I am adding, please be careful of this language. Limb is being used in this section as body and soul parts are differentiated from sinews and ligaments. Many Kabbalah students make the mistake of being influenced by the Western world's translation of man was created in the image of God. Image is the Hebrew word tselem, which is also translated as shadow. Tselem is also the meaning of sephirot in many Kabbalists' understanding of this idea. The Tikkun HaNefesh supports the idea of Tselem being the structure of the Tree of Life and the Ten Sephirot. There is much more to understand about this, but this is not the space, and we do not have the time to reveal it in this class. However, someone whose soul is not new, but one that has reincarnated and return to this world only has to complete those mitzvahs it has yet to fulfill in previous Gilgulim. Thus, the fulfillment of the 613 mitzvahs may take place over the course of all the Gilgulim. My commentary. Let us understand this on a deeper level. There is a mitzvah for a king to write two Torahs. One is to be carried with him all the time. I am not a king in Israel, yet I must do this mitzvah at one time in my lives. If I was not part of the 30 kings of Israel, then I will be part of the soul of Mashiach. This is because Mashiach is the only king left to be revealed in Israel. Do not apply this to me, Hanoch, only. This applies to any soul from the tribe of Yehuda. It will apply to you as well. Either you were a king in Israel, or you will be part of the soul of Mashiach when he writes his two Torahs. There are many mitzvot that this discussion applies, not just this mitzvah, this mitzvah. When this can be understood with this, we can understand why in the Talmud we learn of certain Torah scholars who were careful with respect to a particular mitzvah more than other mitzvahs, while another scholar was careful regarding a different mitzvah. For example, one Talmudic rabbi asked his colleague, "In what mitzvah was your father most careful?" The one who posed this question was interested in determining the tzaddik's soul root and the focal point of its rectification. The more we understand about the tzaddik's angle in spirituality, the more we have a handle to learn from him and to emulate his ways. And he answered, "The mitzvah of tzitzit or tefillin or something of that nature." Why does the Ari mention this? It must be that he is hinting to us the general principles upon which understanding about being careful with a certain mitzvah relative to one's labor, one's tailor-made tikkun, has to do with. In my opinion, this language is a little convoluted. So the question that's being asked is, why is the Ari mentioning this? It's good to understand it in a general sense, but is it also applying in the specific sense? The answer is yes. In our classes of You Are Who You Hate, we were taught that we can have a spark of a soul of someone else. Let's say we have a spark of a soul of someone's left arm. The reason we have that spark is in this lifetime, we will be given the opportunity to correct that spark and the mitzvah that spark needs to perform. The reason we do not have our own left arm soul spark is because in a previous incarnation, our left arm spark was corrected. But there needs to be a way for that soul spark that has been captured, even after its correction, we are taught, oh, after its correction, that night it'll go upstairs and get corrected. And we'll have a different soul spark's left arm the next day. But there may be, and we will find out in our classes, there may be that there's a hold on that soul spark that doesn't let it free until we correct between the soul root of that left arm that is in this world with us together. And that by doing a good deed, making peace between the two people, we released the soul spark and give it back to its soul root and allow it to become elevated back into its place in the soul root, waiting in the Garden of Eden for the full Tikkun Gemar, the whole Tikkun, when the Mashiach will manifest. The mitzvot were given to refine and to heal the soul. The mitzvot were given to refine and heal the soul. They do this by connecting the self to varied channels of Hashem's light. The mitzvah of tefillin draws to the soul primarily an internal light, as opposed to tzitzit, which brings a surrounding light. Internal light affects and expands the conscious awareness. Surrounding light affects the subconscious more effectively. Depending on the soul root and its specific need of rectification, it will accordingly require being careful with a certain mitzvah. The mentioning of tzitzit or tefillin or something of that nature comes to teach that the general principle underneath determining what one needs is either a mitzvah that brings internal light or a mitzvah that brings surrounding light. My commentary. Which is cause and which is effect? A person is careful with a mitzvah is an indication of which root of Adam his soul is from. The discussion and commentary above teaches one level. A deeper level is tzitzit has to do with the left column, lack, building a desire, while tefillin comes to draw the energy of chesed. Neither of these explanations takes these issues sufficiently deep to know which mitzvah applies to which soul root of Adam and Chava. However, this would seem to contradict the Mishnah that says, be as careful with a light mitzvah as you would with a serious one. The secret is that every scholar is careful with the particular mitzvah that is missing from his previous Gilgulim. Either all of it or part of it. This means to say that even though some mitzvahs are intrinsically less important, a person may still have to give special attention to their fulfillment more than others that are usually more important because they may be necessary for this specific rectification. My commentary. Please do not be impacted by this comment by Rabbi Auerbach. Each mitzvah is important, just as each person is important. There is none less important from the aspect of the Creator. To think this indicates how far from Hashem we are. No mitzvah is less important than another. No mitzvah is more important than another. Look to your body. Is your foot more or less important than your tongue? They are equally important to you. Without a tongue, you cannot communicate as well as with a tongue. Without a foot, you cannot move as easily as with a foot. Comparing the two is silly and inappropriate. It is only our need to create separation that we learn from the Satan. Grow past this and do not fall to the issue. This is also the secret, the sod of what we find in the Talmud, where one person focused on a particular character trait, while another focused on a different one. For example, they asked one person, "To what do you owe your long life?" And he answered, "All of my life I was never particular about my honor." There are many rabbis who were asked this and gave varied responses. The Ari brings this answer out of all of them. He also leaves out the name of the one who said it. This comes to teach that even though a certain rabbi was extra careful with this, it is something that is necessary for everyone to be especially careful about. Honor belongs to Hashem, as it says, God reigns, he clothes himself in honor, and for my honor I created it. The job of man is to do everything for the divine honor. If a person tries to take honor for himself, this destroys the world and causes the Shekhinah to depart. As the sages say, teach, anyone who is proud, God says, I am not able to live in the world with him. All negative qualities are rooted in some types of ego. From it comes a person's will to be exacting about his honor. One who can get past this hurdle will have a much easier time conquering all other bad qualities. Hence, each one worked on a certain trait that remained lacking from his previous Gilgulim. Personality qualities are from the deepest expressions of the soul. I'm going to read this paragraph, and if it doesn't answer the statement, I will explain something carefully that needs to be explained. Personality qualities are from the deepest expressions of the soul. Therefore, is it of paramount importance to fix them? The entire person is made up of traits. Therefore, did Rabbi Nachman write his book of qualities? Most people decide most of what they do from traits rather than from logic. This leaves room to rationalize. In order to be truly righteous, one must cleanse and refine the qualities. This is like polishing the soul and makes it to shine. It didn't answer the question, so I'm going to explain some things right now. There are character traits and there are personality traits. In Hebrew, the word character trait is midot. And people speak of correcting, changing our midot. And that is correct. You can change a midot, a character trait. But that same character trait can be part of a personality trait. Using the example above, we can have a personality trait to pursue honor, that strive to do things that people will recognize and honor us. That can be part of a personality. That same trait of pursuing honor can be a character trait. A character trait is a habit. A habit can be changed by replacing it with another habit. To change a personality trait, we have to change the core essence of who we are. It's very difficult. It can be done. If you have a personality trait that is, let's use the word vindictive, it's very difficult to change it, but it can be changed by first changing the character trait and then taking the replaced, whatever you replace the habit of vindictiveness with, whatever positive trait you took on and replaced vindictiveness, now you can work to bring that level into permanence as part of your personality to replace the vindictiveness in your unconscious. I'm continuing to read. There is a major difference between one whose previous soul sparks from his soul root fulfilled all the 613 mitzvahs to one whose soul sparks did not as well. And we will explain this further on. My commentary. There is a reason that the Ari used just one example of a mitzvah relating to honor and not another example. It is relating to honor as this was an issue for him. We learn this in the way he contacted his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital. He was sent to Sfat to teach Rabbi Chaim Vital, and it took Rabbi Chaim Vital 6 months to allow himself to meet the Ari, since his ego got in the way. Actually, Rabbi Chaim reflected an earlier issue of the Ari himself, which he cleansed, and by waiting for Rabbi Chaim to change, and realized that here was someone for him to learn from, the Ari removed aspects of this negative trait we refer to as the dust of the matter. In Rabbi Auerbach's comments, we also are told that personality traits are the deepest levels. Actually, both character and personality traits are aspects of garments for the soul. Both of them are learned from the environment they have chosen to live around and the astrological influences which allows them to be led to potential changes in these traits and choosing to reveal the light. That is why we shine in the words of Rabbi Auerbach. We change ourselves, and that reconnects our soul to its root, and that is why we shine. Which character traits and which personality traits do you find admirable and want to learn and apply to yourself? Which have you already learned and now want to change? When I wrote this paragraph, I was not aware of this distinction between personality and character traits. And as I explained, personality traits are very much included in your DNA. They're very much who you're, it's a garment over your soul, but it is on a much deeper unconscious level. Whereas the character traits are a garment over that garment. The character traits are learned. The personality traits are ingrained in the unconscious. This is the end of our class. We will pick this up next week, starting with completing the orchard. Chapter 16, Section 2. I'm going to unmute the phones so that you can ask any questions. Are there any questions?
How can you distinguish?
I will have. Go ahead, Paula. You broke up. Say it again.
Okay. How can you distinguish your personality traits if it's negative? the negative.
One tool you can use is to ask somebody who's close to you, what they think is the worst part of you, the worst aspect of you.
Oh.
That's one tool.
Yeah.
Another tool is to see, when you see a negative trait in someone else, to realize that that's your mirror, and you're only seeing it is because you have that trait yourself.
Wow.
Any other questions? The next class will be at 7 o'clock Pacific time. There will be our next study connection and the planting of the Omer for this evening. Shalom Gadol. Much peace and serenity in your life. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.